In the days of Bletchley Park, when they were staffing it, particularly before Turing came and they moved in their new direction, it was people like Gollenbeck and Alexander who were chess players, and it was people who were marvellous at crosswords, Oxford and Cambridge dons who were terrific at had classical educations and were good at manipulating words. Ah. Then the mathematicians took over.
That's a good point, because there is an element in common, isn't there? You look at a complex situation with lots of rubbish flying all over the place, and you're able to frame it in a way which makes sense of it. Yeah. Now, this is a vital thing for human beings. The brains have to do this. Yeah. You have to be able to perceive the environment. You have to know that's a tiger about to take your leg off. Yeah. And so you're going to be one leg running after five legs. Yeah. So it's vital. And this reframing thing is, in all these puzzles, in codes and everything else, artists too, in literature too, you don't just describe everything in great detail. You've got to somehow extract the pith, yes, out of something. So that takes you back to metaphor.
Yes.
Try and say it succinctly, but get the essence of it and say it in a way which you haven't thought of before, so it strikes deeper. So that's the beginning of literature, metaphor, finding forms and things, back to the pith, and all of these things linked together.
Mm.
And of course, a bit of that happens in school maths, not enough to make it hugely enjoyable.
Now, recently, much to the annoyance of Nintendo and other software manufacturers, a fair amount of empirical research seems to have demonstrated that being good at puzzles is of no use whatsoever, except for those people who want to solve puzzles. In other words, you can't transfer it out. This brain training turns out to be nonsense, apparently, and that you don't get smarter by doing these word games every day. Have you any sense that people who are good at crosswords are likely to be good at anything else, or is it just a purely closed world? I mean, we all know that chess and music, for example, can produce flowering geniuses that stagger the mind, and yet these are people who can often not sit the right way on a lavatory or walk across a street without falling over.
Well, we've said it's useful. Otherwise, the skills wouldn't exist.
Yeah, yes, but music isn't useful in that sense, is it?
Music's interesting because one doesn't know whether it has a purpose in itself or whether it's just a piggyback function. Because usually if something is pleasant, nature has, if you excuse my way of talking about it, metaphorically, has a purpose for it. So we do those things which are pleasant. It has a very low opinion.
And we know that Mozart enjoyed puzzles and number games in particular.
Yes, So is it useful? Well, Galileo didn't want people to nick his copyright, so he created this huge... I remember he did a wonderful one about, is it the moons of Venus? So he produces an anagram and he had two letters left over, OI, which I thought was marvellous. And then if somebody has that discovery, he can prove priority. Mm. Vikings, you want to set up a scale of pecking order, of dominance, but you don't want people killing each other in fights. Because the best man might be killed simply because he'd been challenged 85 times. He might be tired. And we don't have antlers, so what do? We'll set a riddle. And riddles in the ancient world could be quite serious. You can't solve it. You throw yourself off a cliff, you kill yourself. No, this is serious business.
Thank you, Chris, very much indeed.
That was Fry's English Delight. Word Games, presented by Stephen Fry. A testbed production for BBC Radio 4.